It's time. It's what I like to call that time again. Time for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, the food maverick, the food master. Hello, Arthur Schwartz. How are you?
Hot.
Yeah.
So even when I'm air conditioned, I'm still hot.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know what that's about, but eat. So I don't want to cook, that's for sure.
Right.
I barely want to eat. But I don't even want to think about food, but it's my job.
Good.
So on a day like today, where it's going to be at least 90 and not dry, but it's not Arizona, I am tempted to just eat some raw fish. Not sushi, mind you. Fact is, I don't like most sushi because the raw fish is not fresh enough.
Right.
99% of it, I'm sure, is frozen, which is not a bad thing necessarily. But I would rather have my own frozen fish than their frozen fish. And so let me say that the person I feed or cook for, however you want to put it, Bob Harnett, does not eat raw fish. So, and by the way, we're going to Norway at the end of the summer. Well, not so far away, 3 weeks from now. And I'm hoping I have the opportunity to have some raw fish. You know, we're going to be on a ship, but the ship is going to have local ingredients, I'm told.
Right.
Yeah, so anyway, I buy, when we're in a market that has good fish, I will go look it over and buy a tiny piece of tuna for myself and a tiny piece of salmon for myself. And usually there are these tiny pieces that they're very happy to sell you. I mean, when I say I want a quarter of a pound, they don't flinch. And I slice, when I get home, I slice that up, and I season it with extra virgin olive oil, hot red pepper, a little salt, a little lemon juice. Now, the lemon juice is important because, as in ceviche, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly. It could be ceviche. Does anybody know? I should have looked it up before.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, somebody look it up because I don't like mispronouncing on the radio. In any case, ceviche is, in quotes, cooked by the acidity of usually lime juice, but could be other citrus. For instance, if you really want to mimic the juice that is used in South America from whence ceviche hails, I would really use a mixture of our sweet orange juice and sour lime juice so that it's not too sour. But it's the acidity in both either of those that, in quote, cooks the fish, which means it gives it a cooked texture, even though heat has never been applied. And depending how long you leave it that way, the more, in quotes, cooked it will become. Now, I like mine practically raw. I mean, really, not cooked. So I spread it out on a plate, and as I said, dress it with some lemon juice. I'm doing it Italian style. It's interesting that in a country that grows a lot of citrus, meaning Italy, oranges, lemons, citron, grapefruit, all these things, there were no limes that I've ever encountered in Italy. Interesting. Every citrus you can think of. Kumquats.
Right.
A number of years ago, when Bob and I stayed in a friend's villa in Salerno, she had a citrus grove all around the house, and we had every citrus. And I said, Sylvia, how come no limes? And she shrugged her shoulders. It's like, why would I want to put limes in? Anyway, So I dressed this raw fish with lemon juice, my best extra virgin olive oil, some hot red pepper flakes, some salt, and that's it. And I could eat it just like that if I was on a really strict no-carb diet. It's the perfect little lunch. But as I am not on a strictly no-carb diet, I might have that with some high-fiber crackers, like Wasa bread, or whatever you call that, Scandinavian hard bread.
I, to me, it sounds just perfect, but we know that I'm a bread changeling, so...
A bread what?
Changeling. Everybody in my family loved bread, and the only bread I liked was rye toast. This is way back.
Rye toast would go great with this.
Huh?
With the rye toast would be great with the crudo.
Yeah.
By the way, I love salt cod, but I'm the only person I know who love salt cod, so I never cook salt cod. But you can eat salt cod, in quotes, raw. All you need to do is, of course, soak it until it's you've lost a lot, if not most, of the salt that's been used to preserve it. And I had this in Calabria, where they just love hot pepper. I had this. It was really delicious. Reconstituted, or whatever you would call it, salt cod, sliced very thin, laid out on a plate like a carpaccio. In fact, I think it may have been called carpaccio. Anything sliced thin and raw on a plate is nowadays carpaccio. The original carpaccio, of course, was...
It was beef, right?
It was vitellone. It was not. We don't have such an animal, but it's a young steer, but not still a calf.
Right.
In between. That was the original. Anyway, point out. It's a made up thing, by the way. It was made up at Harry's Bar in Venice, and it was to promote a show of Carpaccio, of the painter.
Right.
Anyway. So sliced very thin, salt cod, just reconstituted, not cooked in any way, dressed with olive oil, hot pepper. You could put parsley on this too, by the way, and lemon, and lemon, or even better, blood orange juice. It's not the season now for blood orange, though, so I would drop that idea altogether, especially when lemon does very well. I've gone on to this, I don't want to cook, but I can eat raw fish thing. And then I'm thinking, I'm going to Norway in a few weeks. And one of the big deals in Norway is herring. Now, if you think about it, herring is really raw fish. It's pickled, it's salted to preserve it. And the reason, by the way, herring is so widely preserved is that herring runs are very erratic. One year you can have more herring than you know what to do with, so what you do with it is you pickle it or salt it. And the next year there's no more herring, so you're happy you have some salted or pickled in the pantry. But I grew up eating pickled herring. It's a very Eastern European Jewish thing because, of course, our ancestors lived in landlocked places. And herring is mostly a saltwater fish, small fish. By the way, herring is the same family as sardines and anchovies, and these are the healthiest fish to eat. Besides that they're small and they don't eat smaller fish and eventually end up with a lot of, let's just say, stuff you don't want in your fish, meaning heavy metals, etc. But they are an oily fish, which means that they're rich in omega-3 fatty acids, which are really essential life acids, amino acids.
Right.
So they're really healthy fish. So even if you, if you like anchovies and you like, get used to sardines. And by the way, speaking of trendy foods, which I wasn't, canned fish is super trendy now. And I don't know where it is exactly because I didn't bother to read too much about it, but there is now a canned fish store in Manhattan selling a lot of very expensive canned fish, including, I'm sure, some things that I like. And by the way, this is canned fish season. I mean, you don't have to turn on any heat to eat a can of tuna fish. And we like tuna fish. America loves tuna fish. Sardine, and also a very healthy fish because it's a dark flesh fish, although it's a large fish. And so if there's going to be bad stuff in it, there's going to be bad stuff in the tuna. And then, of course, is the sustainable stuff. Now, herring is sustainable. there's so much we don't know what to do with it. But where I'm going in Norway, they know what to do with it. One of the things I'm looking forward to, because I'm going on the English ship, Queen Mary II, is I know they have this because I've been on the ship not many times already. For breakfast, you can get grilled kippers. Now, what are kippers but smoked sardines? Maybe a little bigger than you think of sardines. Smoked herring. It's a smoked fish in the sardine/herring family. And the Brits serve it with poached eggs. Very good. Very good combination. But we were talking more about raw fish because of this weather. And the other thing I like to eat, I know I'm weird, is pickled herring with Greek yogurt. Now, I grew up, as I said, eating herring.
And can I just go, my mother used to, okay, so biggest treat in life was buttered macaroni and shad roe, talking about tinned.
Oh, yeah.
And this was,
shad roe was fresh.
No, it was tinned.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
I never heard of that.
Oh,
I mean, the spring, you could get in New York City.
Well, no.
Buffalo.
I mean, and when she found it, it was total celebration. And it was all, it cooked in butter. So the buttered macaroni was a family thing. And shad roe and buttered macaroni was...
Sounds good to me.
Massive treat.
I would say.
And
I wonder if that still exists, canned
shad roe. When I came up here, I had found someone who had shad roe, and I bought a case of it, literally.
Huh.
It's a
spring delicacy.
Yeah, the shad
come from the Hudson River.
This is for the weird crowd, for those in the back that like the things that Arthur is talking about, because I also know a lot of people who just can't bear it. But my mom used to eat basically pickled herring with some sort of it had some sort of cream. It was either sour cream or yogurt
cream
or something
sauce.
Like that. I mean that was just
they still sell it in the store. Vita herring, whatever. A lot of brands of pickled herring in what they call cream sauce.
Okay, that's what
I don't like that cream sauce very much. There's a store here in Brooklyn that has real cream sauce on the herring, and that's great. And I'm sure if you go to Russ and Daughters, you can get great, too. But I prefer to buy the regular old pickled herring and then just dollop on a big glunk of a Greek yogurt. And it goes great with the herring and higher in protein, less fat than sour cream. I mean, if you want to put sour cream on, go ahead. It's delicious. But I'm a big fan of full fat, or at least 5% fat Greek yogurt, which I have in many different ways, but both for breakfast and in this weather, even for dinner. I had some yogurt with blueberries for dinner the other night. I just couldn't bear the thought of eating anything more. So now the big crowning glory for me of raw fish dishes is gravlax. which is Scandinavian and super easy to make at home. You just need a nice hunk of salmon, like a 2-pound slab of salmon, a cross cut of salmon, so that you end up in the end with two slabs with skin on, plus, of course, boned out fleshy interior. So it's gravlax is nothing more than salt, sugar cured salmon. You can cure it for just one day. I prefer 2 days. I'll even go for 3 days. I mean, certainly if I started on the second day, I'm not going to finish it on the second day unless I have a bunch of people to eat it with. So the next day, so that's 3 days. There's never anything left on the fourth day, but if there is, you could probably eat that too. Anyway, what you do is, now I like to do this in a Ziploc bag these days because it makes it easier to distribute the cure. So you started out in a baking dish, so you can do this before you put it in the bag, in a glass dish, and sprinkle on a mixture of, I use half and half, let's say a quarter of a cup of coarse salt to a quarter of, if you don't have kosher salt, which I don't usually, use sea salt, it's fine, but a quarter cup of coarse salt, a quarter of a cup of sugar, and I would say at least a tablespoon of coarsely ground or crushed peppercorns, black peppercorns. Mix that all together and layer it on the bottom slice of salmon, which is skin side down, flesh side up. Then a nice bunch of dill. For 2 pounds of fish, you're going to want a nice-sized bunch of dill. And I find dill to be quite fragrant, but if you happen to have a bunch that isn't so fragrant, you can cut it up. And use the stems, too. And put that on top of the cure that you just put down. And then put the next piece of salmon, flesh side down, skin side up. Tuck it into the Ziploc bag. Squeeze out the air. You can leave it in the Pyrex dish to make things easier to flip in and out. And then I would flip it after about 2 or 3 hours, and then again after about 6 hours, and let it go like that, flipping it whenever you think about it. In the refrigerator, by the way. I would say at least every 4 hours, and then the next day maybe not at all. And there you go. And then what you do is you slice this very thin on the diagonal, like the man in the store, if he's skilled, is doing for you by when he's cutting smoked salmon. It's very good. The thing is, I grew up eating lox. Now, to me, lox is salt-cured salmon, which is what this is. We distinguished between the smoked and the salt-cured. The smoked was Nova. Whether it really was from Nova Scotia, who knows? But we called it Nova. Still, they call it Nova. And it used to be most of the salmon sales in New York were for lox, for the salty version. It's just salmon put down under salt. And the fact is, it would be sent from this is when the Cross Continental Railroad started. They would take barrels of salted salmon from the Northwest and send them east. And by the time they got to New York, they were actually in brine because the salt had dissolved in the moisture of the fish. In any case, that's what I grew up eating. In fact, my father, when he only made two things: corned beef hash and lox eggs and onions. And when he made lox eggs and onions, it really was lox. It was salt cured salmon, and it was so salty, he would cut it into pieces and then soak it in milk while he was doing other prep, because soaking in milk would leach out some of the salt and give you a nicer fish flavor when you finish the eggs. I had a laugh in later days, well, but still 30 years ago or more. Ratner's, the dairy restaurant on the Lower East Side,
right,
used to sell what I call lox, eggs, and onions. But they had lox and eggs, and then they charged you extra for the onions.
Seriously?
I was very offended by that.
How can you not be?
Yeah, right. The cheapest ingredient in the whole mix
is the onion.
And they're charging you extra for it.
It obviously, it had become more of a tourist attraction or something. I don't know.
You're right. By then, Ratner's had become a sort of a tourist attraction.
The,
a lot of good it did.
Then
they closed.
On, speaking of tourist attractions, I think it was with an S. It was a huge... It was sort of downtown. It was a massive restaurant, massive, a la Ratner's. I'll think of it another time,
massive,
I guess.
It was Rappaport's on Second Avenue. It's long,
it wasn't,
long
it wasn't,
gone.
It wasn't Jewish, but it's a place that you came. It was.
Well, you know, the behind Ratner's, a nightclub opened in Ratner's, behind the actual restaurant. I don't remember what they called it, but... That didn't help them stay in business either.
And there was a point where that neighborhood was becoming more. I'll call it hybrid.
Now it's expensive. It's all gentrified.
Yeah. It's becoming.
You know, there's no inch of Manhattan.
Right.
That is affordable, to put it in quotes. Well, not that Brooklyn is that much better. I mean, there are neighborhoods in Brooklyn you can still live in if you're not making $1 million a year. But there are mostly a lot of neighborhoods where you need to make $1 million a year. It's gotten really expensive. And Queens, you know, is also expensive now.
Oh, it's pretty... It's not even... You can't even say it's relative, because certain things have just become so... I mean, got used to... became accustomed to these figures being attached to these places, and it's just not...
Yeah, I always joke with my nephew, who owns a historic home outside Philadelphia, an enormous historic home, on an acre of land, no less, and for what he paid for his house, he could actually get a two-bedroom apartment in my apartment house.
My brother... used to joke with my father, and this was, again, you could say over half a century ago, just under half a century ago, that it cost more for him, this is pretty much 1980, cost more for him to keep his car in a garage.
Well,
it did his son to keep his son in a garage when his son was in college.
Right, I totally empathize with that.
And, I mean, it's kind of,
the garage
and again,
space in my neighborhood is now $600 a month.
For
the garage.
Said with a straight face, I always, tease people. It's like, yeah, I can charge you to park in my driveway if you want.
I have a very, let's say, comfortable friend who lives on the Upper East Side.
Comfortable.
And
that's
no
word.
Longer,
that's
no
a
longer
family word. How are they? Mommy, are they rich? They're comfortable.
Comfortable. Well, anyway, he's comfortable. He and his wife are comfortable. But he sold his big car and bought a smart car. You know what a smart car is?
Yes, but please don't get me started.
A little tiny, tiny thing.
Yeah.
You can barely get your groceries in the back. So I said, why did you buy a smart car? Well, he said, well, with the smart car, I can park on the street. And in my neighborhood, that's like, you know, a one-bedroom apartment cost to park my car in a garage. And with the smart car, you know, you can actually park. I'm not sure if this is legal in New York, but you can park vertically or whatever you would call it. Because the length of a smart car is the width of a regular car.
Right, it's complicated, and I will say that by the time by the by the teens, people were not, I mean, people's parking skills had really gone down. Forget parking your smart car. I would watch people, you know, not be able to parallel park into anything. But that's okay. Now your car will do it for you.
Well,
I don't know. No.
You can't live in New York and not be
many years ago.
The fact is, everywhere, I don't have any idea what it's like in Manhattan. I dread thinking. But even here in Brooklyn, like we were talking about with a friend the other day about where we go to eat, and it ends up we all agreed that we go to eat wherever we can park.
Right. Well, this is wonderful thing about generations. As you start moving, you start arranging things so that you go to eat wherever you can park, and sometimes it becomes
gotten very, very more difficult than usual. We used to joke that Park Slope was really no Park Slope. But now it is never a Park Slope, it seems. More people, more cars, and less consideration, because people double park and block streets. And it's a problem, which is why I like to stay inside.
There is that.
Yeah, there is that, right. I mean, you can get practically anything you want delivered to the door. So, but anyway, so yeah, this is my time with raw fish. We can call anything carpaccio. Actually, this is funny. We have a Japanese restaurant in the neighborhood, and that underneath their sashimi, they have carpaccio of salmon. So, what's their carpaccio of salmon?
Instead of salmon sashimi, it's hilarious. But I will say that yellowtail used to be served as a carpaccio, and it was great with a ponzu sauce and.
No, it is. I love it.
Yeah,
myself.
Me too. But
this is the salmon, is four slices of salmon, topped with slices of fresh jalapeno pepper. And I guess you would say a ponzu sauce to dip it in. Oh, and some coriander leaves.
Yeah.
Or cilantro, as we say in Spanish. But
okay,
you know, it's become that's an interesting word / herb. When you say cilantro in America, we mean a green herb, and we say coriander, we mean the seed of the very same plant. So, by the way, when I was young and starting out as a food writer, we didn't use either of those words. Oh, well, yeah, we did coriander for the seed, but the other one was called Chinese parsley.
Right. I think I vaguely remember Chinese parsley.
Chinese parsley is coriander.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm not much for coriander.
No, I'm not either.
So
I mean, I can tolerate it, but hard.
I don't put it on anything.
You know,
moving
actually,
on to seeds
no.
is not interesting to me.
But yeah, no, nothing.
But
and
anyway,
but carpaccio, any you can call it any if you're a fish guy or you yourself are good with a knife, you can slice your tuna or salmon on the. Very thin, and lay it out on a plate and dress it any which way you like. As I said, I like lemon juice and hot pepper and oil.
Yeah.
All right, I think I'm going to go cool myself off.
All right, well, we thank you. And
lemonade, that's what I've been drinking
lemonade,
and also the other thing that is very healthy, and I've done a lot of reading about this lately, and it's not just garbage, but apple cider vinegar.
Yep.
And all you need to do is put a teaspoon of apple cider vinegar in your cold water, and it's a really cooling beverage.
No, that's a magical thing. It balances all sorts of stuff. So.
All right,
I'll
my
sign
dear.
Off on that one.
And my dear is everybody out there. Yeah.
All right. Well, have a
keep
good...
Cool. Keep cool.
Yes, I think that's a wonderful sentiment.
Yeah, keep cool.
And as ever, we thank you, Arthur
and
Schwartz.
And keep hydrated.
Maven, Master, Maverick.
Whatever.
On Robin Hood Radio.